character development. This is part one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to verse 13. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. The Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. Our objective is twofold. First, it is understanding character. And second, it is understanding the development process of character. By way of introduction, there are four critical things to note. One, the most significant impact of Christianity is character transformation. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And the disciples, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves to the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The most significant impact of Christianity is character transformation. It is not a title. It's not a church sticker. It is character transformation. Number two, the followers of Christ are known by their fruit or character, and not just by church attendance. They are known by their fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 all the way to verse 20. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. The duration of church attendance is what makes a person a Christian. By the manifestation of character, you know who they are. Somebody could be born in church and yet not a Christian. That is number two. Number three, the work of Christian ministry is the development of godly character. The development of godly character, that is the work of Christian ministry, is the development of godly character. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, godly character in the lives of the people. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can stop there. So the pastor's work, the apostle's work, the prophet's work is the development of godly character in the people. The major work of a pastor is not the release of miracles. It's not the distribution of prophecies. It's the development of godly character. Where someone is coming to church and character is not changed, it's a waste of church. Your father cannot testify. Your husband cannot testify. Your wife cannot testify. Your children can't testify. Your co-workers can't testify. Those who know you can't testify that you are a child of God, you are not. The work of Christian ministry is the development of godly character. And finally, number four, Christian character development is a process. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It is a process. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. We may grow up. So it is a growth. Character development is not a destination, it's an adventure. We grow. Having said all of that, what are the factors that facilitate Christian character development? I trust God to have all the time to say all these points. Number one is a sense of vision and purpose for godly character. A sense of vision and purpose for godly character. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. A sense of purpose. A sense of purpose. Vision and purpose. How is that? Two things. First, it involves knowing exactly the kind of person you want to be in life. What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of life do you want to live? And who are the role models of that kind of life? A sense of purpose and vision. What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of life do you want to live? I grew up in a setting, a family setting, that gave me a determination that I will live a marriage that will be a pattern marriage. What I saw my children can't see. It's a vision, a purpose. I saw Kenneth and Gloria Copeland meet. I saw T.L. and Desi Osborne meet. I saw Charles and Frances Hunter meet. And I looked at myself and said, this is the kind of life I will live. I will live such a life where I will stand shoulder to shoulder in ministry with my wife. Minister with fire and passion. If you can't see it, you can't seize it. And no devil can stop you from seizing what you have seen. And the dream you dream for yourself is superior to what another person dreams. Anybody, for example, praying for my marriage not to work now can multiply himself a million times. He has failed. He failed abundantly. 1 zillion demons. Why? Because Daniel proposed. Ask your neighbor, say, what have you proposed? Ask somebody, say, what is your vision? What kind of person do you want to be? Hallelujah. That is the kind of thing that makes a man say, I want to live and I don't want to end as a divorced man. So whatever it takes, I will make my marriage work. It's a purpose, a vision. Whatever it takes. A young lady said, she saw the way young girls were hanging around lecturers in school. That was my wife when she was a young girl. She said she's going to pass very well so that she doesn't need to beg anybody to cross. She made the decision, and the decision made her. Went to school sharp, became a doctor under 23. So, what is your vision? What is your passion? I'm the one talking, you are clapping for somebody else. Hallelujah. Does that make any sense to you? Nothing happens by accident. You make choices, choices make you. I'll come to that later on. There must be that sense of vision. There must be that sense of purpose. This is what I want out of life, and I will have it. The devil notwithstanding. It involves knowing exactly the kind of person you want to be in life. Secondly, it involves being a person who lives by conviction and not to the consensus. You live by conviction, not to the consensus. You are the kind of person who is not living by the opinions and ideas of people. You know the reason why there are so many people today who don't have a mind of their own is because they are living by the mind of the world. You are the kind of person that says, if everybody decides to go to hell, I will go to heaven. You are the kind of person that says, if everybody decides to collapse to the floor, I will stand on my feet. Being a person who lives by conviction, not to the consensus. You are not the kind of person of majority carries the vote. You are the kind of person that will take a stand if you have to stand alone. And that stand is by God. So this is very, very important. Especially among young people. Everybody goes one way and then everybody and they start going the same way. Everybody dresses one kind and everybody starts dressing like that. Everybody does the hair one way and everybody starts doing it like that. Am I communicating? Conviction. One day, I put pocket square in my suit. I told you the story before. And one of my friends said, that does not rain anymore. That these days, nobody puts pocket square in the pocket anymore. It's just So I told him, I said, who rains it? Who determines the rain? If it does not rain anymore, I rain it. You don't live your life at the mercy of what everybody thinks is of everybody is doing. You live your life as a pace setter, a frontliner, a road pointer. You live your life as such. God is speaking to you, say amen. So that is point number one. It is a sense of vision and purpose for godly character. Number two is feeding on and living in the word of God. Feeding on and living in the word of God. Feeding on and living in the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. It said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Then verse 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. John chapter 15 and in verse 3. He said, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Anybody who feeds on the word and who lives inside the word will be a good person. He will be a kind person, a loving person. He will be a person of quality character. Why is that so? I give you two reasons. First, the word of God changes mindsets. And mindset affects lifestyle. The word of God changes mindsets. And mindset affects lifestyle. Every time there is a change in mentality, there will be a change in activity. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And that is by the word of God. The word of God changes mindset. When you see a man whose mind is thinking like the people of the world, he's a person that is distant from the world. He changes mindset. And mindset changes, affects lifestyle. Secondly, the word of God is a mirror for life. And reveals where adjustments need to be made in life. It's a mirror for life. In James chapter 1 verse 23 all the way to verse 25. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man is. He just looked at the mirror and left. Those are those who read the word and don't do it. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his word. So, the word of God, how many of you know, when you stand before the mirror may show you that there is a tissue, something right here. Is that correct? Or that your hair is not in order, or something. And if you want to adjust yourself, where do you do it? After you leave the mirror, where do you do it? Right in front of the mirror. You are there with the mirror until the mirror confirms that you can go. That is how the word is. He said if you study the word and don't do anything about it, you just looked at the mirror and left away. But the word of God is mirror for life. It shows you that you are not praying enough. It shows you that you are talking too much. It shows you that you are lying too much. It shows you that you are exaggerating. It shows you that you are taking things that are not yours. It shows you that you are far from God. It shows you that you are unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The word of God shows you that. And once you see that, you adjust your life and you step up. That is why when people are far from the world, they become terrible in character. Is God speaking to anybody at all? That was number two. So, a sense of vision and purpose. Number two, feeding and living in the word of God. Number three, living in God's presence in prayer and communion. Living in God's presence in prayer and communion. You know of the life of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to verse 28. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, this was Jacob at the place of prayer. And in that place of prayer, he had encounters with God that changed him from Jacob to Israel. Jacob was not just the name of a person. And Israel is not just the name of a nation. But Jacob was a behavior. And Israel was a behavior. Jacob was a character. The Jacobic character is the character of deception. But the name literally means con man, conny man. Deceitful man, serpentine man. Have you seen serpentine people before? People you have seen, you thought you are dealing with real people. And you don't know they are serpentine, slippery. You wouldn't believe. That was how it was with Jacob. And so he met another serpentine man by the name Laban. They dealt with each other for 21 years. And God said, now, as you have tarried in my presence, I am not just enlarging your capacity, turning you from a person into a nation. I want to turn you from the person you used to be into the person you are meant to be. Two things you will note. One, the place of prayer is the place of character transformation. Where the person you used to be gives way for the person God wants you to be. When you see men of prayer and women of prayer, they are the humblest of people, kindest of people. You can feel something when you come around them. So serene, so tranquil. You can hardly get words from their mouth. Hallelujah. You can. Now, so the place of prayer. Now, the meaning of this is, prayer does not only change things. Prayer changes the people who pray. It changes people. That is one. So, leke teko bagalaga braga daga jaga lata firo toko babaratisa. 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. It changes you. It changes you. One woman came all the way from Port Harcourt yesterday, I think, on Saturday, she is still here in this service. She said, Pastor, whatever you are doing, keep on doing it. He said, the kind of testimonies and miracles and things we are hearing are unheard of. Just keep on doing it. He said, sir, can I ask you a question? How long do you pray? I said, calm down, calm down. It changes the person who prays. You are on your bed at home, and somebody is seeing you somewhere in Australia being delivered from something that manifests into physical manifestation. Prayer changes the person who prays. So, the place of prayer is not just the place where needs are met. It's the place where lives are changed. Where lives are changed. Where your life is practically changed. Secondly, under this point of prayer, the place of prayer is the place of company with God. And company affects character. When you pray, you have just entered the vicinity of God. And whosoever walketh with wise men shall be wise. Proverbs 13 verse 20. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. What is our key? Number one, the sense of vision and purpose. Number two, feeding on and living in the word of God. Number three, living in his presence in prayer and communion. Number four, living and flowing in the spirit. Living and flowing in the spirit.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Please take note of two things. The Spirit of God is not just for the manifestation of gifts, but for the development of fruit. The Spirit of God is not just designed for the manifestation of gifts, but for the development of fruit. And fruit means character. Can have the gift of tongues and interpretation. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, healings, working of miracles. And yet you, when you come home, your wife has to take cover. Children have to take cover. Driver is under pressure. Cook are under pressure. Security is under pressure. But you can cast out devils. Can pray in tongues. Shaka baka laka praka taka shaka laka praka taka shaka laka praka baka. But are strong headed like a naughty bulldog. You know, bulldog is already naughty, but a naughty one. Any tongue that has not changed your character is a useless tongue. That is not changing your character. It's not changing your behavior. It's useless praying in tongues. Useless. It has not reduced your loquacity and verbal diarrhea. Talking cha-cha-cha-cha-cha like a parrot. It has not reduced pride. You have nothing and you are raising shoulder. It has not reduced anger. I wanted to talk to a young man the other day. I want to sit him down. And I said, can you please tell me what are you proud about? What are you proud over now? You don't have anything. Am I communicating? Please, I want your tongue to begin to change your life. Change your behavior. Change your character. Until those who don't know that you go to church can testify that that is a child of God. Am I communicating at all? We have the gifts of the Spirit. And we have the fruit of the Spirit. Among Pentecostals, we celebrate the gifts and we underplay the fruit. That is why some of the evangelicals don't take Pentecostals serious. The middle level churches, not the one you call Orthodox, the ones in the middle. You know the ones I'm talking about. The Baptist, the Evangelist, the Equanson. They keep on hammering on meekness, on love, and this. We are doing a lot of power. Somebody's living with a man. And comfortable in church. And somebody is eyeing people's husband and seated in church. It's time to let's pray. The hands are lifted. Drop the hand first. What I'm saying, is it too brutal? Are you following what I'm saying here? Let us begin to pray until fruit begins to develop. Until fruit begins to develop. You can't be a Christian and sit down and scatter somebody's reputation and character. You can't. You can't call yourself a Christian. You can't. Am I communicating? Even there are unbelievers who don't tell lies. They don't go to church, but their word is their word. Someone say amen. So, a major assignment of the Holy Spirit is the development of fruit. Secondly, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Holiness. I'll read that in the second service in Romans chapter 1 verse 4. And so his assignment is the empowerment of the saint unto godly living. The empowerment of the saint unto godly living. The empowerment of the saint unto godly living. These four things, by the time you flow with them, you are sure to stand upright. And yet, we have six more. Do we have the time to go on? That was number four. Living and flowing in the Spirit. Number five. So, the assignment in this last point is to ensure, Holy Spirit, this tongue I am speaking, let it change my life. Number five, guard your mind. Watch the intakes and imputes of your life. Guard your mind. Watch the intakes and imputes of your life. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We read already Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Two things you must know. One, the mind is the control room of character. And I want you to watch what I'm about to say. The mind. Because thoughts become actions. Actions become habits. And habits become character. Your thought fuels your action. Your action establishes your habit. And your habit defines your character. So it begins from the thought. You are not doing anything about your character until you have started doing something about what you are thinking. Hello? Nobody stole by accident. Nobody becomes a prostitute by chance. The beginning place of character is the thought realm. Am I communicating? So if you leave your thought like that, it will lead you to actions. And if the actions continue, it forms the habit. And when the habit is confirmed, it's character defined. So you watch what goes on in the mind. And that leads me to the second point under this. Inflow into life determines outflow out of life. Or outflow from life. Inflow to life determines outflow from life. as the saying goes, garbage in, garbage out. What do you watch? There are innocent looking movies that have suggestions inside. Thank God for godly movie stars, and we thank God because many of them are going to be raised in this commission and being raised. But how many of you know that movies taught some people how to rape? You don't know that? How to drug people out, all manner. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you do with the phone. Because what flows in determines what flows out. And that will lead me to another very serious point now. Be careful who speaks into your ears. Someone say amen. Someone say amen. Someone say louder, amen. Number 6. Completely avoid the wrong company and association. Completely avoid. That word completely is emphasized. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship with has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Fear the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Somebody say loud, amen. Is that a manifestation or a demonstration or a visitation? Somebody say amen. I'd like you to note what I'm about to say. Association equals assimilation. Company equals impact. Who speaks into your life? Who speaks into your life? Again, who speaks into your ears shapes your life. Am I communicating? I'm talking about who you call friend. Who is it? That kind of person is shaping your life. I read a book by Cindy Jacobs. Anybody has heard of her? It's a woman of America. I am saying, be careful who speaks into your life. She said one woman rushed to her after a meeting. See that? I think she had a wedding ring on her hand and told the woman, praise the Lord, I'm about to get married. God is about to settle me. And he says, settle you like how? The woman of God has a mantle on her life. And so, settle you like how? Are you not already married? You say, oh yes, but a prophet of God told me that my husband will soon die. Hello? And that and God has prepared for me another man. And we are in love with that man. Oosh. A prophet of what? The woman of God told her, you are in deep danger. We see your husband dead because of somebody. And because a quote-unquote prophet told you. Then she began to cry. She said, look, I'm aware that your marriage has been very terrible. And the woman began to cry more. But that's no reason why you must wish that your husband should die so you can marry another person. Why did she act like that? Quote and unquote prophet. Not every prophetic title carrier is speaking from God. Listen to me. Anybody, including this pastor, who says any single thing to you that is contrary to scripture, reject it. Anybody, including this speaker, that says anything to you that is full, does not carry the love of God inside, doesn't carry the word of God inside, the spirit of God inside, the principles of scripture inside, that person is setting you up for disaster. I told you the story before of a woman who told her friend that her hot marriage was very terrible. And in fact, she's thinking of moving to her father's house. And her quote-unquote friend said, do you have transport money? I can assist you to pack. She ran. It's not a story. Somebody told me. She ran to meet me. I said, see what somebody told me. And I said to her, I said, you are the one who went ahead. And who told her that thing? A divorcee. Who wants her to come into her class? She ran for her life. I am talking of a story of over 20 years now. Marriage preserved. Sweet, beautiful till today. Are you ready for the second thing? B point. What number are we? Is this number 5? I am afraid because it appears like I may not finish. Because we have 10 points. Number 6. Okay, B part of number 6. The A part is what? Association equals assimilation. Company equals impact. Who speaks into your ears shapes your life. Second part. Never manage the wrong association. Don't manage it. What you manage can damage you. A pilot was meant to repair an aircraft. He has been flying for 30 years. He had a little some fault that he considered not too big. Oh, there is a fault in this aircraft. Okay, I'll just 1 hour flight. When I land, we'll just fix it. He couldn't land. He crashed with everybody inside the flight. 30 years piloting experience. What you manage can damage you. Never manage the wrong association. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? What you manage can damage you. Never ignore your perceptions. Otherwise, you proceed in destruction. Because there are people who married and they were feeling that, are you sure of this man? And they still went ahead and married. Are you sure of this girl? Even the people manifested certain behavior prior to marriage, waved it to the wind and went ahead and became shadows of themselves. The relationship. There are those who care from people around themselves. You are not really comfortable, but you maybe you don't want to offend anybody. Until you damage yourself. Never manage it. Turn to somebody and say, don't manage it. So the question is, are you to hate people? No. The person may be good for another person, but not for you. Birds of the same feather flock together. This is why there are so many people did not start. I don't know of anybody who started smoking in his bedroom.
I don't know, there may be. But there was a friend
who said, have you tasted smoke before? I said, no. What? Try it. It's easy. It's easy. And he will show him the technology of passing it through the nose. It's a technology. You know, in secondary school, so some of my friends were trying to, I was with some of my friends and they were trying to teach us how to do it. I couldn't do the technology. Am I communicating?
Some young boys, the first time, I remember in our secondary school form two, some other boys used to teach others, this is how to talk to girl.
I can't forget it. I mean, they used to talk, this is how to do it. No, today the world has so degenerated that it is women are now pursuing men in most places. So degenerated. Am I communicating? So
there are people who began to behave wrongly because somebody just walked into their lives. Be careful. Be careful. Completely. What is that word? Completely. Avoid the wrong company association. Say that word again. Completely. Say it louder. Say it loudmost.
Number 7. Be ready to learn. Open to change. Be ready to learn. Open to change.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. Philippians 3, 10 to 14. Scripture said, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I am preaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are we talking about? Meekness, number one, or A. Meekness, that is the readiness to learn, grants access to lifestyle changing insight. Say it again. Meekness, that is the readiness to learn. It grants access to lifestyle changing insight. When you are ready to learn, God opens your eyes to see things that can change the way you live. Psalm 25 verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. His way of life. Where your meekness stops, that is where your light stops. Light that can change your life. Secondly, openness to change is key to character adjustment. Openness to change is key. When you are open, Lord, I have not learned everything I need to learn yet. At any time you want to change my life, hear me. Here am I. Openness to change is key to character adjustment. There are people, there's something we call psychosclerosis. A hardening of the mind doesn't change. The ways are set like concrete. Those kind of people, that you just waste your life. You can do nothing. It's key to character adjustment. When the Seeds of Destiny came out first, after two or three editions, there was my picture on every page. If you saw the first or second edition.
And somebody sent me a text. I don't know that person till tomorrow. And he said to me, sir, I think the printer was doing it like another devotional that he knows, where they put such pictures. So the person sent me, excuse me, sir, your picture is on every page of this devotional. I'm sure you are not like that. You don't. It's not yourself you wanted to present. It is Christ. And I replied to the person, I said, you are absolutely right. Putting my picture on every page was not my concept. It will be removed immediately. I replied that person. I don't know the person till tomorrow. Neither will I stand and say, I am the senior pastor. Who do you think you are? Call me, let me talk to you. There are people like that. They have not reached anywhere, but they have arrived. In fact, they haven't started the journey, but they have arrived. Openness to change. Let's go to point number 8. Point number 8, be open to feedback and correction. If your character must be adjusted, you must be open to feedback and correction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 16, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When he came to Philippi, who do they say I am? What are people saying about me? Some say you are this, you are that, you are that. What do you say about me? What is the meaning of that? It is not everybody who says something about you that hates you. There are those who say things out of concern. Not everybody who is giving you a word of correction wants to kill you. Please take note of two things. We used to say in leadership that feedback is the breakfast of champions. But I will say it in another way now. Feedback is the fuel for upgrade. Upgrade of character. They say you are too proud. They say you are too arrogant. They say you are too this. Oh Lord, help me. Have mercy. If it is true, I need mercy. I need mercy, Lord. How many of you noticed that the feedback Jesus received was correct? Some say you are Elijah. Fine. Elijah was a good prophet. Some say you are Jeremiah. Oh, wow. I'm happy. They are calling people in whose grade we are. But who do you say I am? You are Jesus Christ. This one is absolutely 100% correct. It would have been a concern. If they say, some say you are king. What? Have I killed a person before? Some say you are Absalom. God forbid. When did I betray anybody? In fact, some say you are Gehazi. Everything they say was close to who he was. Be open to feedback so that your life can upgrade, especially from those who have your interests at heart. Especially from who? Especially from those who have your interests at heart. Especially from those who really like you. There are those who hate you, who will never see anything good out of your life. Even if you kill yourself, they say you haven't died enough. Don't waste your time with such people. They will never have anything positive. So he has not died enough. Die well. Hallelujah. Secondly, correction brings transformation. Correction brings transformation. Correction brings transformation. Everywhere, everyone that can be corrected can be transformed. If you are available for continuous correction, then your character. There are messages you hear that did not, like the ones you are hearing today, that did not come to say, shout here, shout this and that. But something is hitting you. You are saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to change. I am ready. One thing about God is that no matter, I am just so I am just so amazed at God at times. The kind of people he changes.
Somebody came to my office, brutal killer, hired killer. You don't need him to tell you before you know. And how God visited him in the prison, in worry, using my faith. And he came all the way to be prayed for. And he has returned back. But he wants to have the physical encounter. How they went to get gun medicine. That is where bullets shouldn't penetrate them. About 9 of them went outside this country to one of the countries around us. To a powerful native doctor. And after you have taken the medicine, they have to try it, whether it has worked. By shooting life gun on you. 2 of them died. The medicine didn't work in their body. And he came. And God has changed him. He was on the death row. They were shooting people dead one by one. Before it was his turn, the phone rang for one of the people who were shooting him. And then they took him back to cell. From there to prison. It was how God does it. That is why anybody who ends in hell wanted to go there. Hardened enough. Cooperated with the devil enough. Hallelujah. Correction brings transformation. Number 9, be determined. Don't give up. What is the meaning of that? Somebody is trying to stop an addiction for 1 month, 2 months, 6 months. You have not tasted alcohol yet. You have not smoked yet. You have not watched the bad films again. And then in the 7th month, you came under pressure. And maybe somebody just walked on you and gave you a glass or something. And you found yourself with one breaking the cycle. You thought you would have made it up to 1 year. Or made it up to two years clean. And you just stopped at 6 months. And the devil said, forget it, I told you. Your type cannot change. Your type can't change. Just continue. God understands. Just continue. God himself knows. He's the one who made you. He knows. You know, the devil is a bad boy. Don't give up. Don't give up. Micah chapter 7 verse 8. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. So, the key point is, don't give up. Never. Okay, let me give you 2 points. One, never see failure as proof of defeat. Failure to uphold character, I mean. Failure to uphold character, not failure to succeed in stealing. He said, I tried to steal yesterday, I couldn't. Pastor said I should be determined. You know, and people want to hear what they want to hear out of church. Pastor said I should be determined. I should just try my best and be determined and break the home. Just keep on trying, keep on. That's not what I'm talking about. Never see failure to uphold character as proof of defeat. Failure is not a person. That is that you fail doesn't make you a failure. Failure is not even an event. Failure is an opinion. You just thought you failed. But for you, failure can be a learning process. So be determined. I am going to make it. The temptation is too much, but I must marry as a virgin. Be determined. The temptation is too much, but
Me and the person I'm about to marry, the bed shall not be defiled. Bed undefiled, we shall marry pure. Be determined. There may be people who will even put you under pressure.
Be determined.
And secondly, determination is the guarantee of every destination. Is the guarantee of every destination. Paul the Apostle said, I pressed till I reached the mark. The destination is godly character, be determined. Don't kill yourself because you failed. Am I communicating? Let me talk to somebody. There are people God has forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. You know, human, we can be harder on ourselves than even God. Let go. He gives forgiveness, receive the forgiveness, and move on. And take it one day at a time. Today is evening now. You have not smoked today. Thank God. By tomorrow you start the journey again. Before you know it, 1 year has passed. And before you know it, you cannot even stand the smell of smoke anymore. Am I communicating at all? Determination. And finally, number 10. Rely on grace. Apply continually for the grace to live right. Rely on grace. Apply continually for the grace to live right. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Let me say two things because we are 5 minutes beyond time already. First, grace is fuel for ease. Anything that will be easy takes grace. Christian life that is easy takes grace. Character that is easy takes grace. You apply for it in the presence of God. Lord, I apply for grace. I apply for grace. I apply for it. And secondly, grace empowers to do the right thing. It empowers you to do the right thing. Empowers you. In the midst of pressure, you stand by grace. We have stood by his grace for 21, 22 solid years. All manner of confrontations. From the pit of hell, from the witchcraft world, from the occult realm, from the water kingdoms, from the bondwoman realm, from bitter, envious people, from Jezebelitan spirits. Grace. So remain on your feet. Where you should have been swept off. Grace, they stand. Nothing can beat grace. I went to the university hostel in those days to preach. It was female hostel. In those days, if you remember the students' village, where the female are here and the men are here, that was where I understood grace for the very well. I went in to preach, and here this girl sees me. It's Saturday, and I mean the men is here and the women are here, and you could knock, and I got in, and she just cleared herself, scattered her leg on the bed. I came to preach. What are you expecting from me? I should drop the preaching and change the agenda. I'm telling you, under God, that day, I understood grace. I understood it because it didn't even do as if wood was sitting. It didn't do as if wood was sitting. By the time I
I continued the preaching with fire in my eyes.
She adjusted her life.
Now, the meaning of that is, what you couldn't have done with your power, that is in your own power, you are gone. Grace say you can. What is impossible by your own flesh, grace said is possible. So apply for grace. If it is possible daily. Lord, I step out into today. I apply for grace. The capacity to stand. The capacity to say no. I apply for grace. In conclusion, I say two things and then we conclude. First, there must be the decision to live right. Decision to live right in order to live right. There must be that decision. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. There must be the decision to live right. Lord, it is my determination. I want to stand. I want to live right. I want to live correct. And secondly, that the choice to live right must be backed up with action. No matter how much you decide to eat, until you step into the restaurant and help yourself, you won't be able to. There must be the choice must be backed up with action. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 and 13 said, wherefore my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Why? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in you. You work it out. He is doing his own. Do your own. Make the move. Avoid the wrong company. Stay in the word. Live a life of prayer. Any association you are not comfortable with, disconnect instantly. People might use sentiments to try to woo you back. Say, no, sir, I don't hate you. But my destiny doesn't look similar to yours. You may not say it like that directly in case the person will say, what do you mean? You have a better destiny? Just put forth the action. What you manage can damage you. Stand up on your feet. I think me, myself, I have to buy this tape. Too loaded. Overloaded. 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 And beware who speaks into your life. Beware who speaks into your life. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate God. The way you played now just reminded me of that song. I can only imagine. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Be upstanding. Main sanctuary, galleries overflow. Don't worry, go ahead and take another song. I know we are not set for that. Lift your hands and your voice and appreciate him. Honor him, adore him.
Oh.
to appreciate God for his word to you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I'm grateful to you for your word. I am appreciative to you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Adoration. 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 Worship. Worship. Adoration. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and say, Father, I come before you today and I ask for your help and your mercy to live in uprightness, godly character. Where I failed, I ask for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and speak to God. Uprightness of character. Blessed be your name. Lift your hands higher. In this sanctuary, the galleries, the overflows. You are here tonight and you are saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. I want to go forward ever, backward never. I want to live for God. I've heard this message on character. I don't want to pretend. My life is far from God. Even though I've been coming to church, I've been living anyhow, and I don't want to live like that anymore. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags from this sanctuary, the gallery, the overflows, and don't kill yourself because you failed. God won't kill you. He will have mercy on you, and he will assist you, and he will say, my son, my daughter, come, let me empower you to say, to do the right thing. I pray upon that communion, that grace we just talked about, be transmitted through the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. The grace he came to die to supply us, in order to be able to line up with all those 10 points and to live right and to fulfill his purpose. That grace be released upon you now, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Take your seat in the presence of God. If you are still coming, just 1 minute of communion. You want to rededicate yourself. You have come out like this before, but you say, Pastor, after this message of tonight, I want to rededicate myself. It doesn't matter if you have been in church for long. Maybe you are bound by an addiction, and you want that addiction to be broken. You quickly pick your Bibles and pick your bag and rush forward here, and we shall pray for you. How many of you know something happened to you? Word, the word that landed on you tonight, you will recover from it for life. You cannot. I'd like you to listen to that message again. I'd like you to give that message to somebody. And how many of you are going to listen to that message again? Ensure you listen to it again. Lift your hands high. Be released in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you from this day and forevermore. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely his goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Somebody bless, amen. What is your testimony? An open gate.